Yep.
You ready?
Yeah, we're ready. Let's go. Tim Hasselbeck, every Wednesday, starting at noon. Timmy, what's going on?
Well, a lot of the same. What's going on with you guys?
Are you and Matt kind of auditioning for a brother show, you know, down the road on ESPN right now? What's going on?
We are not auditioning for that. You know, we are, you know, I guess a few times a year, you know, especially in the off season, we end up being on at the same time. So we were yesterday. And I just think it's important when he says something moronic to make sure that, you know, I point it out.
Do you think he has trouble giving you credit for your good points?
No, but I don't think so.
No,
I just think I just think it's important, like any good brother would do. Like when you say something stupid, that you know you can't just let it go. Sometimes people are a little polite, like they don't know the guy they're on that well, or they don't know how to handle it, so they're like, oh, okay, yeah, good point. Yeah, that's a good idea. You know, and you just you leave it alone. You know, I just think as a brother, you can just be like, that's so stupid. Why would you say that?
Well, it's been fun to watch. I will say that. I hope they keep doing more stuff with you and Matt. It's been good. I like it.
All right.
Wanted to play a little game with you that I played with Willie and Chase at the end of last hour, just see if you can get it, because it is pretty interesting. You know, there's a lot of leagues where you see, I feel like in hockey, if you go back and look at a lot of the number one overall picks, I mean, it's almost, for some reason, like they're no-brainers, and they end up turning into and living up to the pick, a lot of them. They turn into the big superstars. The NFL, from 2010 to 2015, that's six number one picks overall. Do you realize in those six number one picks overall, this is just from 2010 to 2015, only one is still currently with their team? And can you name that player?
Over the last 6 years?
Yep. 2010 to 2015. So 2010, 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15. Only one number one pick overall is still with their current team.
Jared Goff was after that, right?
Yep. In fact,
oh, you know who it was?
Year.
I was just talking. I was just on the phone with people in Chicago, and we talked about the NFC North, so I know it's Matthew Stafford.
Nope.
No?
Nope.
Well,
he's still with
because he goes back what? Before. He goes back he before the time period that Darren has.
Stafford was what?
Oh, he's not 2010.
Yeah,
oh,
2010 is
so what,
the start.
Yeah, I guess you're right. We're in 2020. Stafford, yeah, that's okay. Yeah, I don't know then. Who is it?
Stafford.
That is
was,
a good answer, though. That,
Stafford that, was what? 2009?
Yeah, I guess he wasn't 2010. I wasn't thinking Stafford was that.
Yeah, he was 2009.
20. That's why that time frame is set the way it is, because 2009, Stafford is still with the team.
So it's
you
Eric.
Said 2009 to when? 2000 what? 15.
Mm-hmm.
So it's 2010 to 2015. There's a run of six straight first overall picks are now no longer with their team, except for one guy.
Yeah, I don't know who it is.
It's Eric Fisher with the Chiefs, 2013.
No,
most people don't even remember him going number one overall, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think people are fairly critical of that pick, actually, you know, with him being the number one overall.
They were.
Pick.
You're right. That's a good point. So it all started with Sam Bradford, then Cam Newton, Andrew Luck. So that's a little bit, you know, it's because he's retired, but he's not with the Colts. Fisher, Clowney, Jameis Winston.
Wow. Yeah, now I don't know other sports, but like obviously, you know, a basketball player can affect his team a little bit differently than a football player can. And if you're picking number one overall, it's because you're bad, you know, and you've been bad. So if you know, the Colts, when they drafted Andrew Luck, didn't win a single game the previous year, right? I mean, you know, it was after they lost Peyton. So they just wasn't a good roster. It's crazy to think that. And, you know, if you were to look at or just, you know, think of some of the names, you know, other than Clowney and Fisher, everyone else is a quarterback, right? I mean.
Yep. That's right. So that kind of led me into where I was going next. Where do you think? There's been, you know, rumor stuff out there that the Titans are certainly in the mix for the services of Clowney. One, just let me ask you, how do you feel about Jadeveon Clowney overall? Like, what's your assessment of him?
Yeah, I think he's a really good player, and he's a way better player, and he's way more disruptive than people nationally give him credit for being. He's like, people game plan for him. He's a wrecker. He disrupts games. He's a beast in the run game. I know. I think he had 3 sacks last year or something. He didn't have a very productive season in terms of sacks a year ago, but. He's still a player, and like I think people have given him a somewhat of a bad rap for, I don't know, maybe not playing hard, and he's definitely been injured. He's definitely played, you know, through some injuries. I'm looking at it now. Yeah, just 3 sacks last year, and so look, that's a big drop off from his previous 2 seasons where he had 9 sacks and 9.5 sacks. So, I think he can be a double-digit sack guy. I think he's way better versus the run than people realize, and he's a matchup problem.
Okay, so then here's the big one. This is the most important question. What's his true value? I know he wants, we've seen the reports, 20, 21, you know, north of 20 million. What do you believe is his real value? What would you be comfortable with giving him per year?
Yeah, I mean, I think that because he's coming off a year where he didn't have a bunch of sacks, you know, I think you would have to be in a situation where you, you know, you would have to incentivize some of that stuff would be, you know, probably how I would, you know, want to approach it with him. His value, I mean, look, he's the first wave of free agency has already happened. So he's not in that. And so now you're in this kind of second wave of free agency. And, look, I think when you're in that situation, I think the team, you know, can do a little bit better job of dictating it. So, you know, value, like to put a number on what he should make, you know, it obviously shouldn't be what he's asking for. He's coming off of – you know, what did he sign? He signed with the Texans a 4-year, $22 million contract in 14. That was obviously the initial one. You know, the Seahawks, what did they pay him last year? You know what they paid him last year?
We'd have to look that up.
So I guess what I'm saying is like, he's not a I'll pull it up quickly. He's not one of these guys that like is at 18 to 20 million a year. He got a $7 million signing bonus last year.
He made about
$8 million last year.
Ooh, wow. Okay.
So like I think he's probably, and that was a bit of a prove it deal. You know, I think that he was kind of dealing with. So. I get kind of back to that similar thing. You know, I mean, you've seen guys do that where, you know, there's somebody that, you know, they think they can play. I mean, you look at like Michael Bennett kind of bounced around doing some similar stuff where you're like, all right, it was a bit of a prove it deal. You go there, you have a great year, and then you're going to get, you know, some security. But, you know, maybe you have to sign another. Maybe it's a 10-year, you know, a $10 million deal, 1 year, $10 million bucks. Like 1 year, $8 million bucks, or one year, $8 million and, you know, and for, you know, 10 sacks, you get another $1 million. I mean, I think you're probably in that range, you know, for him. Now, he might be looking for a little bit of security, considering he's been in the league 6 years, but I think he's a good player, and I think he would help somebody, and people are going to waste that kind of money on players that aren't any good where, you know he's good.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. And, Tim, before we go back into the football, let's get to the real big-time stuff. And that is, has the Hasselbeck family taken any of the recommendations of our crew from last year on the nightly family movie?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, let's see what we I think I downloaded some. Now, we watched Big, obviously not a sports movie, although Tom Hanks does have a giant sweatshirt on at some point in that movie. So we took that advice. Had I watched Hoosiers when we last spoke?
Yes.
Yeah, I think you said Hoosiers
was one of the list. That was one of the ones you guys had watched.
Mm-hmm. So The Natural has been downloaded.
Ooh, good one.
Field of Dreams has been downloaded. We tried to watch Field of Dreams, and there was something with like my AirPlay that wouldn't let us play it on Field of Dreams. So we actually then went to Run the Race. I don't know if you guys have seen that movie, but it's a Tim Tebow, Robbie Tebow production, and it was actually very good. Run the Race. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to think of, I think there was one other one that you guys had recommended that we watched. We did it that night. Shoot. It was not Wonder, but so I told you, my kids have read the book. And so, we will watch that movie. Shoot, I'm forgetting what it could have been because it was something you guys had definitely recommended. But I have on my list. I've got Hook on my list. Remember Chase mentioned that one. Somebody else mentioned. So the short answer, yes. The long answer, I have to figure out my AirPlay situation for Field of Dreams.
but the most important thing is the
– if you wire it, you can watch it by piece of thing. Rather than if you build it, they
but the most
come.
Important thing is this, because families are going to draw strength from you guys. Is the family staying pretty true to the nightly, everybody's being able to stick together, watch together from start to finish without everybody rebelling and going their separate ways in the middle of of the feature?
So, yes is the answer to that, 100%. Yes is the answer to that. However, now that we have started schooling and sleeping to 11:30 is not appropriate to get your schoolwork done,
right.
Staying up till 10:30 to watch a movie is starting. We're like, okay, so unless we start the movie, around 7 o'clock, then we kind of need to put the kibosh on a movie every single night.
Boy, that's good. I'm excited you guys have gone this far. That's good stuff. We're working on that in our house too, trying to get a routine.
We're not movie people, but I feel like turning the news on is nothing but it's like it'll stress you out. I'm not even like a worrier.
No question.
Someone who could stress you out. And so, I just did some hits locally at a studio here in Nashville for SportsCenter and NFL Live, and the cameraman said to me, he goes, I can't tell you how happy I am to just, be listening to sports, because most of the people that come in here to do hits, it's, they're politicians or doctors, and, it's just depressing if you listen to it all day long. So we've turned to movies because at least we have a sense of what the content will be.
So if they set up
Rudy, that's the other one, Rudy. You guys have mentioned Rudy. That was the one we watched last Wednesday night.
Okay.
That's a good one.
All right, we'll come back. More with Tim Hasselbeck on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
We're talking football with Tim Hasselbeck. Talking life as well as we all get through this. We are at our homes as we continue on with Darren Donick and Chase on ESPN Radio 102.5 The Game. Coming up at 1 o'clock, Chris Mason will join us. We'll see what's going on in the Mason household now that we've got the lowdown on what's happening in the Hasselbeck house. And scary to find out what could be happening in the Gill house. Maybe later in the week we'll have to check in on Skillsy and see what he's up to. But I think I have a pretty good idea of what's
you know
happening
what he's
there.
Doing?
But Tim,
you know what he's doing?
What's he doing?
He's watching high school football highlights of himself. That's what he's doing.
You know, I did see that. And you might be familiar, Tim, you might be familiar with his high school, the level of play there. But I got to say, for a guy as big as Hal, the mobility that he shows out there under center, you can see why he could have actually been a scholarship football quarterback. He had to choose between hockey and football when he was in high school. And he said it was a very difficult choice, that, you know. But I think he obviously chose the right way. But he's got some skills.
I think he chose the right way also. Yeah, I was a little thread after he kind of posted some high school highlight stuff. The thing that's encouraging was that, you know, people were asking him, like, how do you play football and hockey? And, like, didn't you have to focus on one sport? And his response was, I played baseball, too. So, obviously a really good athlete, which is incredible considering, yeah, how tall he is. You know, typically somebody that tall, it's like, all right, you can see maybe they play first base or maybe they're, you know, quarterback or tight end or something like that. But to then be able to skate the way he obviously is able to skate is pretty good. So, but one of the things that happens when you see people like that, like, I don't know how, it was probably, what, 44 years old around there, 43, 44 years old. Like, you realize how bad the video quality was when
right.
that age segment was in high school.
Oh, we just talked to Tim Brando. In the last hour, and he said, you know, he was doing SportsCenter in the late 80s, and, you know, I said, yeah, my TV was a lot fuzzier back then. Yeah. He's like, yeah, we had to wear a lot less makeup back then because you didn't have to worry about HD. So who was the tallest quarterback? I remember a guy Seattle took, I believe, in the first round. Dan McGuire. Wasn't he about 6'8", 6'9", somewhere
brother.
In that range?
Yeah. Yeah, I think he was. I think he was about 6'8", and so, yeah, there are guys. I think Jacob Eason, the guy who used to play at Georgia, who then went to Washington, is coming out in this year's draft. He's about 6'6", and I think there are some people that are like, nah, he might be taller than 6'6". Like, you know, there's some guys that get to the point where they're like, look, I don't want people to think I'm 6'7", because, you know, there really hasn't been somebody over 6'6" that has been a really good quarterback in the NFL.
Dan McGuire, think about that. He was drafted midway through the first round, and he barely ever played. I don't even know. Did he attempt 50 passes in his NFL career? I mean, he barely touched the field.
Yeah, that
much more known as Mark's brother.
Correct. You know, you know, when you think about, like, somebody, you know, like Jamarcus.
I have his stats.
Like,
do you have his stats? Did he attempt 50 passes in the NFL?
He did. He did. He completed 50% of them and threw two touchdowns in 13 games.
And how many attempted passes?
He attempted 148 in his career.
The first
completed
round pick
74.
Quarterback dipped at 148 passes.
5 years in the league.
Oh, gosh.
That's incredible.
Some bad teams.
What do you think about it? Jamarcus Russell only played 3 years in the league.
Yeah.
Oh.
Number one pick overall.
There's a good one. Yeah. So, Tim, speaking of drafting and things like that, looking at the story today, I guess the general managers are pushing back at the league and saying, hey, who's kidding who? We can't really prepare the way we want to here in terms of having the draft the way they are planning to do it, April 23rd to 25th, because all the logistical things are happening really all around the country. And, of course, football is no different. So I can't imagine they change the dates here. But what can they do to try to appease or ease the struggles of the GMs, or are they just going to have to figure it out?
I think they're just going to have to figure it out if it's not going to change. It's a little bit like free agency here. I mean, you just got to figure it out. I mean, look at the Titans. The Titans signed, you know, Ryan Tannehill to be the starting quarterback, you know, franchise quarterback. I mean, they're paying him a lot of money. And, like, you can't even have a press conference. Tom Brady's going to make $50 million in 2 years in Tampa Bay Bucks. He does a conference call. I mean, I just – I think basically what they're saying is, it's like, look, you just got to figure it out, you know, and use technology the best you can use it. And, you know, but we kind of need to proceed along here with the schedule. And I think it's going to be a really bad thing for guys that have any type of, you know, medical issue, because, you know, a guy's coming off of a foot injury or shoulder surgery or something like that, then it's going to be really difficult for people to trust or know, you know, how healthy somebody is. So it's one of these things, like, I don't think it's a good solution. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day about these, you know, seniors in college that, you know, maybe lost their spring semester or their spring season. And it's like, all right, well, you want to grant them another year? Okay, so if you grant them another year, what do you do for the sophomore that missed out a year? Do they have another year of eligibility? And so now what does that mean for the recruiting dollars that that team and sport has in that school for this, the high school kid that was maybe going to go, like, now is there scholarship money for that kid? Like, I think some of these things, is like, there's not a good solution, because, like, somebody's going to get hurt in it no matter what. And I think that's how things are with the NFL schedule.
Chase?
Tim Hasselbeck is with us, ESPN NFL analyst. And, Tim, as I look at the quarterbacks that are available right now, Cam Newton obviously becomes available. What do you think the best landing spot will be for him?
I think the best landing spot for Cam Newton is the New England Patriots. And
even with Belichick, really?
You think him and Belichick would get along?
I think there's just got to be an element, like, he's going to have to change a little bit. Cam will have to change. But I also think that Cam is a little bit I can't, like, it drives me nuts, like, the arrival shots of Cam Newton's. And like, I call them costumes. They're not even outfits that he wears, like, for post-game press conferences and stuff. Like, I just think that there are things that he does that drives me crazy. That being said, he was the league MVP in 2015, guys. Like, he quarterbacked the team in 2017, which not that long ago, to an 11-5 record. He's had a shoulder surgery and a foot surgery. We don't know how healthy he is, but if he is healthy, do you guys think he's better than Jarrett Stidham or Brian Hoyer?
Yes.
Sure.
That would be yes.
Well, there you go. Like, so,
I think Jameis Winston could be better than those two.
Yeah, but his – I mean, the way he – can that – it's not like that Belichick is welcoming a personality like that. I mean, he's not exactly a foot soldier.
Belichick signed Randy Moss. Like, Belichick, you know – signed Tim Tebow, and there was going to be some kind of drama with that. But he signed Chad Johnson.
Right, but he had Tom Brady. Maybe. He's the head, you know, he's the police chief.
Right.
Tom Brady's not there anymore. So who's the police chief?
I think that Belichick, you know, I would think that he believes that in the culture that's been built there, which is more than Tom Brady. Look, here's my thing. This is what my brother and I were kind of arguing about. You know, he thinks the best spot for him is to be reunited with Ron Rivera in Washington. Like, if I'm Cam Newton, I'm not going to Washington. Why would I go to Washington?
They just got Kyle Allen.
Quarterback. And they drafted a quarterback last year that, you know, ultimately they want to be the guy. So, like, no matter how well you play, at some point they're going to get Dwayne Haskins in there to figure out if he can do it or not. So, you know, if you're Cam Newton, you're looking for an opportunity to compete against somebody that you're like, hey, I'm better than that guy. And so New England, if he's healthy, he's better than those guys. Jacksonville, like, I think Jacksonville would be crazy not to be interested in Cam Newton. I think the Chargers are crazy not to be interested in Cam Newton. I think the Denver Broncos would be crazy not to be interested in Cam Newton. So, okay. Is he, I don't know, I think there's an element of Cam sometimes we lump, like, off-field distractions and things like that together. They're not all the same. Look, does he seem to be distracted by other things? Yes, he does. But, you know, I don't think people have ever looked at him as, like, a bad teammate or somebody who didn't work hard or somebody that wasn't good. I mean, he took a team to a Super Bowl. I mean, he's got 58 rushing touchdowns. Like, I just think that, and by the way, it doesn't look like there's much of a market for him because of how people have already landed in some of these spots. And so, like, you know, I was just on the phone with a radio station in Green Bay, and you know, saying like, hey, Jameis Winston, like Green Bay would be a good spot for Jameis Winston, for Green Bay and for Winston. And, you know, you probably have to pay him pretty good money. Look at the money Marcus just got from the Raiders. I mean, he's basically making, you know, about $7 million a year to be a backup, you know, with some incentives to earn more. So, like, if you were in New England, like, would you sign Cam Newton to, like, a two-year, $28 million deal? Why not?
I think sometimes.
You know, I think too. The one thing that comes to mind too is that we're influenced by the stuff that's imprinted in our minds. You mentioned the crazy outfits he wears, but also the times that he moped, you know, at a press conference, right? But that doesn't mean he's acting the wrong way, the way he prepares for games, all those things. Sometimes I think that influences Tim. I think that's the point you're making, that we have these images in our mind, but they're just moments in time where the big picture isn't. That's not a total reflection of him as a player.
No, and I think, like, take something like that. It's a great example, Willie, okay? He basically looks dejected in post-game press conference stuff. Well, like, you go to New England, and their PR guy, Stacey James, is going to be like, all right, listen, here's the deal. You're going to answer three questions, and this is what you're going to say. It's like, okay, all right, like, and you can't tell if you won or lost. I mean, that's just basically, like, the way it works in New England with everybody. You know, even guys that they've had that have – you know, been kind of more talkative other places. Like, that to me, like, if I'm like, I like everything about Cam Newton except for, you know, kind of the way he kind of sulks in post-game press conferences. Well, like, to me, that's an easy solution. Like, you basically put somebody to hold his hand, you know, in those situations and tell him what to say. You know, I mean, it's just, that's what you do. So I think there's a starting opportunity out there for Cam. You know, I don't think there is for someone like Jameis Winston.
Do you believe the Chargers when they say they're willing to go with Tyrod Taylor, however you want to say his name, and that's going to be their guy, and then they obviously address the quarterback situation in the draft? Do you believe them, or do you think now that somebody like Cam, that I think you and I agree would be a good fit out there, do you think that they might change their mind?
I think that he's a legitimate option, just like I think that Jarrett Stidham is a legitimate option in New England. So are they serious? Yes, they're serious in the sense that, like, I think they, you know, they would be like, look, we think Tyrod's better than, you know, the general public thinks he is. So New England, we think Jarrett Stidham, you know, is a really good prospect. But I don't think that means they're done addressing the quarterback room. I don't. Like, could it potentially? Yeah, sure, it could. But it also could mean that, like, the Chargers pick six or something. They could just draft Justin Herbert with the sixth overall pick. You know, New England's like, yeah, we're good, you know, with the quarterback situation. And then next thing you know, Andy Dalton gets cut. And it's like, yeah, okay, and we'll sign Andy Dalton. Like, I think both things can kind of be true. Like, look, we're happy with our guy, but that doesn't mean we're a done, you know, addressing the quarterback room.
I think you bring up a good point with Jarrett Stidham. You know, and time will tell, but why are we so quick to dismiss him when you look at what Brady became the greatest of all time, but you can't look past the fact that he was pick 199. I mean, I don't think anybody at the time really thought it was going to turn into what it did. I'm not saying history is going to repeat itself, but I think Josh McDaniels is a pretty darn good offensive coordinator and a quarterback's coach that could work with Jarrett Stidham.
Yeah, and, you know, we, like, you know, I do every year with you guys, talked about the quarterbacks coming out in last year's draft. I thought Jarrett Stidham was good enough to be a first-round draft pick. I thought he was that good and liked him, you know, better than some guys that got drafted in front of him. So I actually do think he's a legitimate prospect. You know, Brian Hoyer re-signs with New England, and, you know, then there's this talk that it's because he believes he's got a chance to compete for that job. Like, I don't think Brian Hoyer is a legitimate option. Like, we know how
he's
New England feels about Brian Hoyer. Yeah, he's a backup. And here's the thing. They've cut him twice. So they've cut him twice, and then when they traded Jimmy Garoppolo to the San Francisco 49ers, and Brian Hoyer was a member of the 49ers, rather than Brian Hoyer being part of that trade, New England just waited for the 49ers to cut Brian Hoyer, and then they signed him to a league minimum deal off the street. Like, we know how New England's already showed their hand in terms of how they feel about Brian Hoyer. So, like, to me, I don't think he's a legitimate option. I think and here's the other thing. New England doesn't just give starting positions away. So that's why I don't think they're done addressing the position, because they're not just going to give it to Jarrett Stidham.
Let's end with this, Tim. We've been talking to a lot of people. We had Carl Ravish on yesterday. We had Tim Brando on today, asking people to give us their best sports memorabilia. Obviously, we're doing the shows from home. We tweeted out pictures of some stuff we have at home in our rooms. What's the best piece of sports memorabilia you have?
So my parents are cleaning out their attic, so I got all kinds of sports memorabilia that is being sent to me. Everything from World Bowl 10 Berlin Thunder paraphernalia to
oh my gosh,
like signed signed pump cleat from Roger Clemens to is all kinds of crazy stuff.
These are just in boxes in your parents' attic?
Oh yeah, my parents have this big attic and they're going through it right now. Like this is one thing with the lockdown and stay at home situation is that I'm going to get so much stuff sent to me from my parents' attic of like stuff that it's like, you guys should have just thrown this away. I mean, I've got like a workout regimen from my freshman year at Boston College, like in a binder, you know, in wow. Dan Henning's playbook. I mean, I just got a lot of stuff. I have a 1985 scouting report from a playoff game that is the New York Giants facing the Bears. And so, you know, on that Bears scouting report is like, Richard Dent, Mike Singletary, and Wilbur Marshall. So I got some pretty cool stuff, or interesting stuff anyway. But the coolest thing I have, though, is a picture hanging in my office. That is my dad at training camp carrying me. He's got shoulder pads on. He's got the socks hiked up to his knees. And he is carrying me in one arm as I'm looking back at the camera. And up in the distance is my brother, like standing there looking back at me. And out in front of my brother is Ray Perkins, who I think was the tight ends coach for the Patriots at the time. Yeah, it's just kind of a cool thing. It has to be like 1981-ish. It was a picture from a newspaper article at that time. So,
is it framed?
It is framed. It's framed,
yeah,
and hanging
nice.
In the office. It's pretty
Very cool. Well, don't throw out some of that stuff you may not want that your parents are going to send you. Man, you could, some of that stuff you could auction off. We'll auction off for you for charity, man. You can raise some money for that.
Matthew said, he's like, really what we need to do is we can't go through it all. We need to just be like, listen, take these trunks of stuff and there's got to be a memorabilia, auction house or whatever that would just go do something with it.
Yeah, you could raise some money with that stuff for sure.
Yeah.
Hey,
appreciate that.
Hey, Tim, real quick, you might appreciate this. I know it's a competing network, but Monday night at 6 o'clock on NBCSN, they are showing the first Manning Bowl between the Giants and the Colts. I believe you were Eli's backup for that, if I'm not mistaken.
I was. And Colts won. It was at Giants Stadium. And I don't think it was really that close. It's probably because I did a bad job impersonating Peyton Manning that week in practice.
I will say this. I have enjoyed a lot of the Peyton programming that ESPN was putting out there yesterday. It was pretty good.
It was great. He's got a lot of good stuff. I think it goes funny. The comment I loved yesterday is, he's like, my dad didn't edit any of those home videos, and so every video he sent out to people has Peyton crying.
right. Yeah, you could tell that bothered him in the 30 for 30, that he the pictures of him always crying when he lost, or somebody, one of his brothers didn't catch a ball. He didn't like that. But when he was throwing, I didn't see what building it was. It looked like that was in New York City. I kind of caught it. Wherever he was throwing the footballs off the building to Chris Carter down below was hilarious.
Yeah, it was. That was in New York City. And from what I heard from people who were there, that was a lot harder to connect on that than you would think.
Oh, yeah. Well, you could tell Chris Carter wanted no part of trying to catch him. And you could tell it hurt. Hey, you guys, you and the family be safe, and we'll talk next week.
All right, sounds good. See you, fellas.
Tim Hasselbeck, every Wednesday starting at noon. We'll come back and close up shop for hour number three. That's next on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chris Mason, kick off the fourth and final hour here on this Wednesday afternoon. Darren, Donick, and Chase. Guys,
is that Blondie?
Sure is. Yeah.
It is.
You guessed the song.
Heart of Glass.
Bingo.
Nailed it. Can you play that on the guitar?
Probably not.
No?
There's a lot of synthesizing in that.
True.
It's good stuff. The Heart of Glass. You can't go wrong with that. 1979.
Cutting Edge.
Cutting Edge.
Whole album's great.
Cutting edge.
Oh, yeah.
Cutting edge. Darren, speaking of cutting edge, you have the pixels are starting to come together here on your guest.
Have we done
team.
Another one?
And Blue I feel like now
out.
I know.
Oh yeah.
Now I know the answer.
That gives it.
Now
away.
I know the answer.
This is the fourth. This is the third and final clue. The next one I tweet out will actually be the shirt, so everybody can see it. But you feel confident now. You know.
Yeah.
Clue number three, I feel Willie. Confident that I know. The thing that's throwing me off is I don't believe that the colors are the colors I thought the team wore back at the day. So it was a little bit of a curveball you're throwing me.
Okay.
If it's what I think it is.
Okay. Chase, is the picture a little bit clearer for you?
Yeah. Yeah, I know what it is now.
Okay.
Because I've seen you wear the shirt.
By the way, there's been some great – this is only probably like the third time I've worn it, so – You probably saw it the first time I wore it. It was a Christmas gift.
Mm-hmm.
There's been some great answers, by the way. By the way, Bob Cole weighing in. Music City Jammers.
Bobby.
There's been some really good answers on this, but go
How
check it out.
How does Bob Cole not follow me on Twitter?
How does he not follow you?
He does not follow me on Twitter, and that bothers me.
He typically just follows really interesting people. So I don't know. You have to ask Bob.
Thanks.
That was a joke, just do that. Chase. Don't break down. I was joking. I was kidding. I don't know. I'm sure it's just an oversight.
I can tell you this about myself that a few more – like I'm already getting kind of crabby, you know, being stuck in the house and not able to do much, so I'm just not really holding back. The filter is going away, and that could be entertaining, and that could be a bad thing. So, you know,
yeah,
we get the Friday for the list.
In all seriousness, it's, you know, I've been tweeting and putting stuff out on Facebook, just, you know, corny stuff. But it's if I can just get one person to laugh or smile, because, you know, Chase, here's the unfortunate part, and I don't really want to harp on it because it's depressing. You know, you're already starting to feel that way. Well, buckle up, big boy. It's going to be a while. I mean, we're not out of the woods even close.
We got weeks.
This is going to go on.
I'm
going to
sound like Jimi Hendrix when this thing is done. That's how much I've been playing.
Well,
I mean, I rearranged my office a little bit to make room over where I have the broadcast set up for my amp and my effects pedal, so I can plug in the electric and, you know, thrash out a little bit.
Yeah, I'm just trying to keep people, you know, in a good mood because it's – I get it. Everybody gets it. You just heard Tim Hasselbeck. They're trying not even to, you know, watch very limited news because it's a little depressing. Sure. I mean, it really is.
It is. But I would stress, and I've been saying this for a while, I would stress to try to give yourself, you know, even if it's 30 minutes, even
if it's
15 minutes.
A little bit,
just
to keep up to speed with where
everything is. Stay informed. Yeah, keep up to speed with what's going on around you because it's moving so fast, right? And things change every day. And, you know, the situation is definitely something you really need to monitor. You've got to stay on top of it. But I understand that everybody's going to have their limit on how much. I probably have been watching too much. I've been trying to cut back a little bit because, like Tim says, it really does get to you. But I think it is important to, just so you can inform the people around you in a lot of cases, you know, that you're up on it.
No doubt. Right now, the scary place is New York.
Mm-hmm.
Man. By the way, that you've heard me this was supposed to be our that was going to be our trip, our little yearly anniversary trip. I don't know if that's going to happen. I'm not sure New York City is going to be in the cards in late June, early July. Probably not.
But this is something that falls into the category of this could go a lot of different ways over the coming months, right? We know the next few weeks is going to be very, very critical to determine what the next few months are going to look like, right? But this is the thing to remember. If I can tell you one thing today without getting too heavy, you know, New York is about a week ahead of a lot of other states and where the outbreak started and, you know, where the graph, when you do the numbers and how they're multiplying every day. You know, we're about a week, you know, the Southeast really as a whole is about a week behind, tracking about a week to 10 days behind New York. So how we conduct ourselves here is going to determine a lot to try to curb, flatten the curve, right? That's what we've got to do. That's why we're doing what we're doing here, so that we don't get to where New York is. And our numbers are going to get a lot higher, right? There's no way around it. It's here. It's going to spread some, but we have to do what we can do.
We told you earlier that Tajae Sharpe signed a one-year deal with the Minnesota Vikings, so cross him off the Titans free agent list. You can cross off another one. It looks like all speculation. While I don't see anything out there official, it looks like all signs are saying the Bengals are about to sign LeSean Sims. So you can cross LeSean Sims off the list as well. A little bit surprised or no?
Not really. I know that the organization liked him, but there were times where I felt like Mike Vrabel wanted more out of him. He said it as much at times, and so I'm not that surprised that he ends up going somewhere else.
I'm not really.
The head coach obviously has a lot of pull in that. So, and now that he's running the defense,
I thought he did a pretty good job for the team, though. He was a pretty valuable role player.
He was a good depth
player. They seemed to be pretty. You don't want to overpay for those guys, but you can't take for granted that you'll just find the next guy that you can get mileage out of, although they have really excelled in that area, right? Playing to a player's strengths. When they had the guys dropping like flies last year in the secondary, I was thinking, man, they're in big trouble, because I've seen Titans teams in the past not handle it as well as they did last year when they were getting down to you're going way past the dime back, right? You're getting to the next guy, and bringing a guy off the street or bringing a guy off the practice squad. They found a way to stay competitive, and they hung in there a lot.
I'm not saying that Tajae Sharpe, LeSean Sims are, hugely detrimental to the Titans, but you see a lot of the depth, and that's something that Willie talked about a lot last year, of the depth of the team they're going away now. They're going to other teams. Does that concern you guys at all, that some of these, that they're not necessarily replacing some of these depth guys as of yet on the team, that maybe they're going to rely on the draft?
Every year you have to rely on the draft, but the draft is going to be important. This is supposed to be a pretty deep draft. You know, it was funny. In a reference point, you guys mentioned, Darren, your trivia question today about the 2013 draft. You know, the last guy to still be with his original team, who was the first overall pick, Eric Fisher of the Chiefs. I just happened to look that up after you mentioned it. You know, here is how important the draft is. Some years are better than others, right? If you look down the list, I won't read you the entire list, but it's not a list that's going to jump out at you.
You're talking about 2013?
Oh, my gosh, look at the talent. Yeah, 2013. Look at all these talented players.
I agree with that.
It's kind of a no-name list in a lot of cases. There are some diamonds in the rough, like DeAndre Hopkins, a little lower in the draft and go down. But how about these guys?
Here that was the year Titans took Chance Warmack, right?
That's correct. That's correct. And then I think they traded up
Justin
to get
Hunter.
Justin Hunter.
By the way,
Hunter?
I just saw Chance Warmack. Didn't he just sign with Seattle? Is that right? I think I just saw that yesterday.
I didn't even know he was still in the league.
Yeah, no, I think he just signed with Seattle. You're right, Willie.
Here are the quarterbacks. Here are the quarterbacks from that draft.
They sure did.
This is one of those years, like, this was not a good year for you to try to say, okay, we need a quarterback. Who are the best quarterbacks? Well, E.J. Manuel was the first one taken. Enough said there. Geno Smith was the second one taken.
Oof.
Oh, boy.
Oof.
You know, by the Jets, and we know how that ended.
Chance Wormack didn't play last year. He was off last year. Nobody signed him.
Really?
Yep.
And they just signed him?
Yeah. So when he left here, he went to Philly, played 2 years in Philly, didn't get signed last year, and now he is reportedly signed with the Seahawks.
Wow.
For a comeback.
Mm.
All right. Now let's finish the list. Mike Glennon for the Buccaneers in the third round. That's the third quarterback taken. Matt Barkley to the Eagles in the fourth round. I guess he's hanging on still in the league. Ryan Nassib for the Giants from Syracuse. Even remember him. Raiders, Tyler Wilson, quarterback, Arkansas, in the fourth round. I mean, it doesn't get any better. There's no Tom Brady's in the sixth round either. It's one of the thinnest list of quarterbacks even picked in the draft, and there was a good reason that not many of them were picked, right?
Oof.
Brad Sorensen, remember him? Southern Utah, drafted by the Chargers in the seventh round. Zach Dysart for the Broncos in the seventh round from Miami of Ohio.
I'll put
Sean
it this way.
Renfrey from Duke.
Just now looking at it, the second round was a lot more productive in that draft than the first round. You had Zach Ertz go in the second round. You had Le'Veon Bell. Those were second round picks. I mean, the first round was DeAndre Hopkins was by far the best player drafted in the first round in that 2013 draft.
Yeah, probably so. I guess my point is, though, that this draft is supposed to be pretty deep, at least by what the scouts say. So that gives you a little bit better idea if you're a general manager that you can fill some holes going down into the fourth, fifth round, that you might hit on a couple of guys that can help your team right away.
By the way, the first pick in the third round in the 2013 draft, Travis Kelce.
That worked out.
Pretty good player.
That worked out for the Chiefs. That's a pretty good pick to start the third round. Remember they had the number one pick overall, so they were starting off each round. So they took Eric Fisher with the first pick overall, and looks like they traded away the first pick in the second round. I don't know what they did because the Jags took Jonathan Cyprian was the first pick in the second round in that 2013 draft. How about that? All right, we'll come back. We'll start the fourth and final hour with Chris Mason, our weekly chat with him next on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.